Good morning, Muncie. We are live from City Hall with another press conference regarding Sunday's shooting. We will hear statements from our mayor and our police chief and deputy chiefs, and then we will open things up for questions.
Good morning. Thank you all for being here. I'm just going to read this statement. Since the tragic events on Sunday morning, our team, and especially our police officers, have been working around the clock to pursue justice, tend to the bereaved, and provide a path forward. We were able to announce yesterday that an arrest had been made, and our police department will share more of those details here shortly. We know that this does not heal the pain that our community is enduring, but we are hopeful that it will take steps toward a closure. I have personally spoken with family members of the injured and of the deceased man, and our staff has assisted in collecting information for a relief fund. We are grateful for the assistance of the concerned clergy in launching a relief fund, which will be used to collect donations for the victims and their families. As of yesterday, all but seven of the injured had been released from the hospital. That's as of yesterday. We would also like to thank Open Door Health Services here in Muncie for offering free trauma therapy for our victims, their families, and those who witnessed the violence firsthand. Trauma care in the aftermath of an event can help prevent the onset of PTSD, and we urge those affected by the shooting to seek professional care as soon as possible. We would also like to thank Meridian Health Services for sending a staff to the prayer vigil and offering free services to victims and their families as well. We're very thankful for Meridian Services. Sunday's evening's events are still under intense investigation, actually Sunday morning's events, but we believe that this tragedy could look different if the crowd size had not grown out of control and was blocking the streets. On Sunday, I launched a task force to investigate how we can prevent community gatherings from growing out of control and how we can empower our police to be able to swiftly disband unplanned mass crowds. I have continued to have ongoing conversations with community leaders and to discuss how we can support families, mentor young people, and nurture communities to prevent acts of violence. At this time, I'm going to ask for Police Chief Sloan to read his statement from the police department.
Sloan. Morning. I know most of you have probably already heard this yesterday, but I'm going to read it again so everybody knows where we're at. So on 8/1/23 at approximately 4:40 p.m., the Muncie Police Department arrested John L. Vance in connection with the shooting that occurred on 7/30/23 in the 900 block of East Willard Street in Muncie, Indiana. Mr. Vance has been preliminarily charged with several felonies, and the arrest is being forwarded to the Delaware County Prosecutor's Office for review and consideration of additional charges. As of today, there are three victims from the incident listed in stable condition in Indianapolis hospitals. Another three victims are still listed as patients at Ball Memorial Hospital in stable condition. While this matter is still under intense investigation, there is no threat to the public. The Muncie Police Department has received assistance from numerous agencies during the initial incident, the ongoing investigation, and the subsequent arrest. Specific to the arrest, we'd like to thank the Delaware County Sheriff's Office, the FBI, and the U.S. Marshals Service for their assistance. Please keep in mind that the fact that an arrest has been made is an allegation and not evidence of guilt. All suspects are presumed to be innocent unless and until they are proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. I'm going to turn this over to the deputy chiefs here real quick. That'll have some more information. Deputy Chief Deegan's got some information about the makeup and the department and what the guys had to deal with. And then Deputy Chief Criswell, who's in charge of investigations, will handle everything regarding the investigation.
Good morning. Deputy Chief Christopher Deegan with the Muncie Police Department. I'm the administrator of the Uniform Patrol Division for the Muncie Police Department. I just wanted to touch on a few things since the events that occurred Sunday morning, primarily surrounding around what our initial response was. I want everybody to understand, and I've said this at public forum and public meeting before, that our police department is staffed to approximately 100 officers. On-shift personnel, on-duty personnel, depending on the shift or the day, could range anywhere from 10 to 15 officers. On the night of the shooting, we had 14 personnel on duty for Muncie Police Department alone. Of all of the injured parties that were there on scene, we had 7 that were transported by on-duty Muncie police officers just due to the chaotic nature of what was going on. Muncie Fire EMS responded and rendered aid as well. But obviously, you know, we are a community that has some limited resources when it comes to a mass event like this. So our personnel felt the need to attend to victims right away by performing CPR, by applying tourniquets, by loading them into police cars and getting them to the hospital, and then returning to the scene to provide whatever other assistance that we could. We put out an all call for help, and I'd like to thank all of the agencies that were a part of that response. I could name them, but there are too many to go through. But for Muncie Police, we had 15 special team operations personnel that responded to the call-in. We had 7 of the incoming shift, which doesn't start until 6 a.m., respond to come in. All 3 administrators responded to come in, and we had about 5 to 6 other personnel report just to provide assistance. That is how chaotic this scene was. It was an all-hands-on-deck situation, and we felt like we got that response from not only our agency, but from the assisting agencies as well. Without those assisting agencies, I don't know that we would have had the success rate that we did with the condition of the victims, to be honest. So I am grateful to this community and those agencies. I also would like to point out, the mayor touched on trauma care. Thank you to the mental health partners here in town that have provided trauma care for anybody that was involved. Trauma care is a big part of our administration platform for first responders as well. We will be doing a debrief later with any involved first responders to help them with whatever issues or traumas they may be dealing with as well. I just want everybody to understand that the group of people that was here working on Saturday night into Sunday morning was the same group of officers that came back to work at 6 p.m. on Sunday night. So when you start talking about compounding PTSD effects, that same group of people were the ones that showed up because they feel it's their obligation to protect the residents of this community. They all showed up the next night for work. So my hat off to them. They dealt with several critical calls on the Sunday after this as well, including a stabbing that occurred on University Avenue, and there was a severe accident involving an infant. As I'm trying to say here is that the first responders for this community step up to the challenge every day. And, you know, the response to that they dealt with was traumatic, to say the least. And it's traumatic to the community as well. And I think we really need to focus on how we come together as a community and how we come together as first responders to make sure that we don't have another tragedy like this. And I would just like to offer, you know, thoughts and prayers to all the victims that involved, their families, their loved ones. The Muncie Police Department is going to continue to show up and work tirelessly to put this to rest and to make sure that we don't have another incident like this. With that, I'll turn it over to Deputy Chief Criswell for the investigation pieces.
Good morning. My name is Melissa Criswell, Deputy Chief, Muncie Police Department. I'm over the Detective Division. I first just want to reassure the community, the victims, the family members of the victims, that our detectives are working day and night diligently on this case. We've made a lot of progress, but this is just a first step and a long road ahead for this case that we are working on. Just to touch a little bit on what Chief Sloan had covered, John L. Vance Jr., 36-year-old, was arrested yesterday at 4:40 p.m. in a traffic stop that was conducted at Centennial and Macedonia Avenue. He was a passenger in a vehicle there. Our department, the Sheriff's Department, the FBI, and the U.S. Marshals were all part of making that arrest happen yesterday. Once again, the victims at Ball Memorial Hospital, there are 3 still admitted, listed as stable, 3 still at Indianapolis hospitals that are listed as stable. We're still working through getting through some statements with those victims who weren't able to speak to us previously. This is a wide-ranging investigation, including the homicide, the victims that have received gunshot wounds, the person who was injured from being struck by a vehicle, and then also possible violations, ordinance violations that have occurred. It will take time to complete. We don't want to cut any corners on this. and we don't want to compromise the integrity of the ongoing investigation. So this is just, like I said, a first step. One arrest has been made, but we have a lot to still do on this case. We can take questions at this time.
So is this the only arrest that you guys anticipate making, or are you still investigating to determine if more arrests will be made?
This is definitely ongoing, and I can't comment as far as future arrests, but we still have a lot to work and a lot of follow-ups to complete. So the charges at this time for which Vance was arrested, they do not include charges relating to the killing of Joseph Bonner. The investigation into his death and the events of July 30th are still rapidly evolving and ongoing, and it's far from over.
What charges does he include?
So his initial charges, pre-charges on the arrest, two counts of aggravated battery level 3 felony, possession of a firearm by a serious violent felony or felon, a level 4 felony, and criminal recklessness, a level 5 felony.
So who did he commit aggravated battery on?
I'm not going to state which victims at this time. The prosecutor is waiting on a copy of the signed PC from the courts, and then he stated he will release that.
Just to clarify, then, he's not being charged, preliminary charge with murder at this point?
Not at this time. Still ongoing investigation.
Do you know why this jumped off at 1:15 in the morning out of that street corner?
We do have information from the investigation this time, and it is included in the probable cause affidavit that there was an altercation between Mr. Vance and another subject at the scene.
And this goes back, backtracked on this, a longstanding beef between these two people that just boiled over that night?
I don't want to comment on that at this time.
Okay. Can you tell us about any weapons that have been recovered?
Not at this time.
I appreciate the thoughts of the parents of the community, especially the victims, and that we want to bring the community together. But can you comment on some of these comments by the county prosecutor, as well as the comments the mayor just made, that place blame on the victim? We talked about the size of the crowd, or the hours of the night, or the things that people present. I really put the blame on the victim. Instead, people who are celebrating still have the right to feel safe without being shot.
I'm not going to respond to comments by anyone besides myself.
Why don't you repeat your question? Because part of that was directed toward the prosecutor, and part of it was directed toward me. But I won't speak for the prosecutor.
Sure, but there's been comments. You just made one about the size of the crowd.
Yes.
The prosecutor made comments about the hours of the party and the ages of the people that were there.
Yep.
But people have a right to celebrate without fear of being shot. So can you address some of these comments that are placing the blame on the victims?
Well, I cannot speak for the prosecutor as far as I do think the size of the crowd was part of the challenge, and that's something that we're looking into.
Perhaps. But Summerfest, the fire downtown is also an event that has huge numbers of people down to the street. How is that different?
No, I don't think we've blamed any of the victims. Well, I appreciate your comments, but I can't speak for the prosecutor, so I can't do that.
We're police deployed before the
deputy chief. Do we know at this point if there was an exchange of gunfire during this altercation? We're trying to get down to, was there one shooter, was there multiple shooters? Do we know that at this point?
I can only comment that there was a verbal and possibly a physical altercation between two individuals that happened prior to shots being fired.
Now, we spoke with multiple people who were at the party. Now, they said they described at least 50 gunshots, sounded like an automatic weapon to us coming from Marion County in Indianapolis. That reads as somebody might have had a machine gun conversion device on the handgun that was retrieved from Mr. Vance. Was there a machine gun conversion device on that weapon?
I'm not going to comment on any evidence collected or any guns that have been collected at this time.
Melissa, perhaps you could walk us through the 72 hours of the investigation when the first officers got there, and how did you piece this together, continue to build it through witness accounts, through looking at the evidence, and how did you eventually find this gentleman in the front seat of that car?
So as I said the other day, the initial scene at the hospital, there was quite a bit of chaos due to the number of victims and the number of people on scene that also showed up at the hospital. all of our investigators that were available were called in to start working different angles, speaking to victims at the hospital, going to the scene, collecting evidence. Through that time, all of our different divisions receiving information from the community, which is a huge part of this investigation, and we still ask for them to contact us. We know that there were a lot of people there who still have information. We still have different aspects of this case that we need to follow up on. So it's just been several hours following up on leads, going out to different locations, using other resources from other agencies to track down individuals who possibly have information.
Was it fair to say that you were tracking this gentleman through town and trying to determine his whereabouts so you could finally find him at 4:43 yesterday afternoon?
Yes.
And can you explain how you did that?
I cannot at this time. I cannot answer that.
In the probable cause affidavit, it sounds like the bond may have been elevated. Ms. Vance, is that true?
Yeah, $105,000 cash bond.
Yeah, how many people suspect shot?
I cannot comment on that this time.
Was there an exchange of gunfire to kill what led up to this altercation? What started for something else?
The probable cause affidavit will state that there was a verbal and physical disagreement, but as far as the initial nature of that, I'm not going to comment on.
Can you comment on whether or not the victim that is deceased was hit by gunfire or by a vehicle? How he died, can you confirm?
Joseph Bonner, the victim, yes. That's deceased, gunfire. I am not aware of a family connection.
Again, were police deployed at this event before the shooting?
Can you answer that?
If I understand your question correctly, do you mean as in response to something, or did we have personnel?
Like when police are at maybe a downtown event or other large gatherings, were they there that night before the shooting?
We were not specifically stationed at the 900 block of Willard, no.
Can you share then, we know that you guys made a phone call to the person who was hosting the party. What was the timeline when that phone call was made between the shots?
I don't have that information on hand. It'd be something that I'd have to get to you.
I mean, it's 72 hours later. We asked this question to you guys on Monday. I'm not trying to be combative, but that timeline is pretty important to know for the community to know what you guys were doing to try and get that party shut down. And if that phone call was 2 hours before the gunshots, or if that phone call was made 15 minutes, it's a big difference.
Sure, I understand your concern. I don't believe that I spoke on Monday or whenever we had the initial press conference, so I would have to defer that to somebody else.
Okay, well, Chief, I asked that question to you on Monday.
Sure.
So, what I will tell you is, I don't know the exact timeline right now. We haven't had time to break all that down. We've been doing a lot of other things, and I'm sorry that's not on your time frame. But, with that being said, we did make an initial phone call. We asked that party be shut down. It was not shut down. And then we tried to call several other times, and he refused to take our call. That's the answer.
Were there multiple guns being used that night?
Go ahead.
Due to it still being ongoing, we're not going to comment on the weapons or evidence.
Is the owner of the party going to face any possible charges in this?
Again, as still part of the investigation, we're not prepared to release anything on that yet.
We have contacted other agencies to follow up on some leads.
Did the victim have a criminal record? I know the suspect does.
I'm not going to comment on that.
Okay.
Were you guys stretched thin on Saturday night into Sunday? Because this wasn't an official city event. So, given that this was not an official city event, there might have been officers stationed at the city event. So, were you guys just stretched thin and unable to properly go shut this party down?
I wouldn't say we were unable to properly shut it down. We did have several events going on that evening. Obviously, Muncie Homecoming was this weekend. This was not an official Muncie Homecoming event. But Muncie Homecoming draws in a lot of people back to the city, which we enjoy having here. But we had events that were going on the north side of the city. We had events that were going on the west side of the city. It was just a matter of fact that when you talk about response personnel and only being, you know, anywhere from 10 to 14 or 15 for a city of 65, 70,000 people when the university's not in session, that's a tall work order for the officers in uniform division.
Can you walk us through where is he right now? What's the process and the timetable on the PC, and when do I expect to see him in court?
The prosecutor stated that he is waiting on the signed copy from the courts and that he will make a statement and release it at that time. And then he would be able to comment further as far as court appearance dates.
Do you know what technology was used to bring him to custody? Is it traffic arrest? Sort of technology was used?
I'm not going to comment on that right now.
Was Mr. Vance, was he injured as a result of the incident?
I'm not going to comment on that.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate your questions.